Labor Day weekend, this message I have preached here before. Started sharing this message with you in 2009 and have probably preached it at least two other times. This is usually a subject that is in my spirit and mind brought up during this time. There is a lot of confusion, if you will, a lot of struggle when it comes to work. What does it mean? Is God behind it? So on and so forth. How do I put up with a difficult situation that I'm in? So on and so forth. And yes, this applies to whether you are fully still in your career, looking for a career, or done with your career. This is a motto that I would love for Bethel Baptist Church to adopt, for us to teach our young people, for us to model for our young people. God blesses work. Amens rang throughout the building. Man, I'm thrilled that we're on the same page. Wow. Maybe y'all should have went on vacation. No, I'm kidding. God blesses work. Amen. Now, I was gonna you're fast learners. I was going to save this for later, but I really believe right now is a good time to do this. Because, listen, again, this is kind of a theme in our church, because it's a theme with me. You can do it. You truly can do what God has called you to do. And no, it's not you doing it. It's you dying to yourself and letting God do it through you. It truly is. So I've got a sermon illustration that it's just right here. I noticed it over here this morning. And by the power and miraculous works of God, this dead worm has gotten here. He was over here in this hallway. I saw him. And now he's here. He dead. That's a dead. Listen to me. If God can use a dead worm, he can use you and me. Can I get a witness? Yeah. I'm going to keep that. I'm telling you, I need inspiration in my life. That dead worm right there. He got from there to there. How'd he do that? Yeah, Don says somebody kicked him. Yeah, well, and that way, that may be what God does to you too, to get you where now. Let me share this with you, and this is just kind of to go along with our laughing hilarity. Only you get this, okay, in first service. But I had a funny happen to me this week. Y'all know that, unfortunately, I guess you could say on some occasion, I'll listen to 101 ESPN because they cover a lot of the subjects that I enjoy, college sports being one of them. They were doing something silly Friday called Karma Friday. I do not believe in karma. It was a joke. But what they were asking, they like to get the listeners involved through what they call a mic drop, so you can record a 30-second message on your phone and send it to them, and they'll play it if it's good enough. And so the thing was is that if you want your team to win on Saturday, you need to confess whatever thing you've done because you don't want your bad karma to cause it. Now, we don't believe in all that. It was for fun. So I called in on the mic drop, and I shared with them that in the third grade, my teacher had discovered that I was not paying attention. And instead of her just assuming, like she should have, that this little ornery kid just, you know, he's a sinner. Instead of her assuming that, she was concerned out of her heart that I had some hearing loss. So she sent a note to my parents. And my parents came to me and said, "Babe, apparently your teacher's concerned that you have hearing loss. We're going to take you and get you tested." Okay. Folks, I didn't have no hearing loss. But I needed to come up with some hearing loss. Because you see, in the Kingston household, when you say something or do something and it ain't so, you get corrected. And so I went to that. I'm telling you, I must have been really smart in the third grade. I've lost most of that. But you see, I knew exactly what had to happen. And when they started doing those little tones, if you've ever had a hearing test, they start off with kind of loud tones on either ear. You know, burr. I rose my hand. I heard that. Because you could hear it out there with the earmuff on. Burr, you know, burr. I got it. But as it went down, just left my hand down. Now, watch this. I was not only that smart, I was super smart because I realized you need to have more hearing loss in one ear than the other. So I came out of that appointment with a 60% hearing loss in this ear and a 40% in this ear. I got hugs, compassion. I got put up to the front of the class because I couldn't hear. It was an amazing thing. From that point forward, I listened because I knew that my parents knew now that I was in the front seat and I had to pay attention. I called that in and I wanted to say, I want to get this off my conscience so Arkansas can win tomorrow. They won yesterday. I don't believe it had anything to do with karma. Okay, watch this. I didn't get to listen. The only reason I call in on that mic drop is to listen to my voice on the radio. It's the only reason I do it. It's the only way I'm going to make it big someday. You know what I'm saying? I had to go into Walmart. They're going to start this segment at 12:30. I went to Walmart at 12:25. Guess when I got out of Walmart? About 12:50. I was terrible. Everybody went to Walmart on Friday before Labor Day. So Jack Wines texts me and says, I just heard your mic drop. It was hilarious. It had to be you. And it was. Because, you know, I mean, he knew my voice, Southern voice, Arkansas Razorback, and a sinner. Now, you might think, what's this got to do with work, Brother Ben? Listen, what would have happened if I would have put hat in hand and said, Lord, and mom and dad and teacher, I ain't got no hearing loss. I'm just a sinner, and I need to listen. That would have been the right thing to do. And I'm not trying to tell you, watch this, I'm not trying to tell you that it has been worth it to me to have that sermon illustration, because I've shared that many places and the such. But here's the bottom line. God blesses work. I'll never know what blessings I missed out on by mailing it in third grade. I can tell you that work ethic did not help me through school. It wasn't until I got to college that I realized I couldn't skate through on a photographic memory at that point in my life. I had to actually study. God used Greek class to teach me that I had to study. In the first semester of Greek, I had an A. In the second semester of Greek, I had a B. In the third semester of Greek, I had a C. In the fourth semester of Greek, I passed by the grace of Ron White because he was my Greek teacher. He didn't want to have me again. I had to study. I had to absolutely. Church, listen. God blesses work. Let's stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, listen. What's that got to do with work, Brother Ben? This is about the saved individual. So, listen to it again. If therefore any man be in Christ, any man, woman, boy, or girl, she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Church, that is a 100% difference. And when you and I take that attitude to work, we will have a 100% difference at work. It's the truth. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Very few people, including Christians, have a positive, much less biblical, worldview regarding work. If we're not careful, folks, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to people that believe that work, God blesses work. I know that. But the reality is that we all struggle at different times and the such towards our work. And it's extremely important that we have a Christian worldview towards work because God blesses work. And so it's so important that you not allow that cliche, well, you know, a bad day at golf is better than a good day at work. You know, a bad day at fishing is better than a good day at work. And folks, I'm fine with you saying all that because I know why you're saying it. You're being silly and you're just trying to get a laugh. That's fine. But don't ever let it get into your heart. At work, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. Because, church, according to Scripture, you should know why you're there and you should know what you're doing. Because God blesses work. The typical Christian says, well, my day job is fill in the blank, but my real passion is fill in the blank. At the very least, this attitude relegates work as a necessary evil. In church, work is not a necessary evil. Work was instituted before the fall. So here are the three myths about work. Myth number one, my work life is separate from my life of faith. And even though that may be accurate, that's not true. Because at your work, all they have to go by is what they see at work. So as far as they're concerned, that's your faith life too. And the people in your faith life, whether it's home and church and the such, they don't know what your work life's about, so they pretty much assume you're the same at work that you are at church and home. Watch this. And if we're not careful, that's where the whole thing of, well, I don't want to go to that church because all they are is full of hypocrites. And what's our response to that? Come on in, the water's fine. Yes, we struggle with that. But church, watch this. We ought to be changing that. As Christians, we ought to be the ones that they say, you know what? I've been around him when he's with his family, or I've went to church with him, and he's the same there that he is here. That's a testimony. And so, no, your work life is not separate from your faith life. Myth number two, the two-story view in which God only cares about eternal things. Therefore, secular work is for us poor saps. And I'm speaking, if you will, from your perspective, because I do get my employment from a full-time ministry. So the person in the pew says this, if we're not careful. Work is for us poor saps who are not gifted enough to be in full-time ministry. Do not let the devil tell you that lie. There's one reason and one reason only why you're not in full-time ministry. God hasn't called you to it. But God has called you to the work you are in. He has. In God's eyes, you are just as called to your work as I am to mine. You've got to see it that way. Church, God does not see the preacher behind the pulpit elevated above the lay people in the pew. That would, again, be favoritism. The Bible says God has no regard to man. In other words, he views each one of you on the same level as he does Billy Graham, Adrian Rogers, fill in the blank. Your work is just as important as my work in God's eyes. He values work. God does not care more about Ben Kingston's work than he does yours. He cares equally about work. Myth number three, secular work is merely a platform for evangelism. Well, I don't really like this job, but there's a lot of lost people here. No, that's not the proper approach. Ask yourself this question. If you're struggling with valuing your work, if you're struggling with thinking that you're making a difference, ask yourself this question. If I quit tomorrow, will they replace me? And I know that in this society, sometimes that doesn't happen because we're paring down on jobs, but that, I'm not talking about that. As a general rule, when you quit, what happens? And I used to say they put a for wanted, you know, wanted sign up, but now they just put it on Google or the internet, an opening. There's a job opening. Do you know why they're posting a job opening? Because your job matters. They need someone to do what you were doing. So the three myths, my work life is separate from my life of faith, God only cares about eternal things, therefore my secular work is for us poor saps who haven't been called to the ministry, and then myth number three, secular work is merely a platform for evangelism. So how does God truly view work. And before I get into that point, I want to share a conversation. And I've shared this before, but we got new folks here. Bob Rapold and I were walking through a field early one morning. And he looked at me, and this was during a time that we were growing as a church. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. And he looked at me and he said, "Brother Ben, I could never do what you're doing." And even though I knew he was trying to give me a compliment, I also knew what the devil was doing on his side. I wish I could do something that really mattered. And I looked at Bob and I said, "Bob, you want me to build a house for you?" "No." "Do you think that I could, standing here right now, with the lack of abilities and giftedness that you have?" "No." "No. Bob, you've been, that boy's got fingers three times the size of mine." You know why? Because he picks stuff up and he hammers stuff and he lifts walls. The man has been built to build houses. He's got a brain that understands blueprints. Lord, help. This is all I do with blueprints. Here, read that for me, would you? That's all I do with blueprints. I'm not gifted to do the things that you're doing. You're not gifted to do what I'm doing. It's all about assignment, church. It's all about assignment. But we've got to quit listening to the devil that, well, my work doesn't matter. You better believe it does. And so what is God's view of work? Number one, work has intrinsic value. Now, that word intrinsic is a $15 word, and I'm going to break it down for you. It's got built-in worth. Work has built-in worth. I've tried to teach all parents to lovingly tell their kids when they're old enough. When something positive happens, celebrate, but then remind that child, "But I don't love you more because of this positive thing, because I love you with everything I have because you have intrinsic value." And yes, that's a big word. Break it down for them. You have built-in worth. You're full. You're infinite of value and worth because God's stamp, His image, is upon you. I love you. You can't do anything to lose that. And that's on the other side. A negative thing happens with your child. "Baby, I'm glad that we got this dealt with. We've got to correct this. But I don't love you any less because of this, because you are full of infinite value and worth, because you are created in God's image." And church, if we can say that to our kids, we can also say it about work, because God has put built-in worth in work. Point number two, God is a worker. God is a worker. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. God is a worker. "For in Him were all things." This is chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 of Colossians. "For in Him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through Him and unto Him." And here it is. "And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Church, and I know it takes faith in 2019 to believe that God created everything in six literal 24-hour periods, but I still believe it. I believe that He did it. God values work. Now watch this. But it also says, "Through Him all things consist." Now I've shared with you guys this little, I don't know if it's chemistry, Dawn, or biology, I don't know what it is. But that little truth about all the molecules in the world. There's molecules in everything, right? And you know what they're doing? They're not standing still. That's what molecules are doing. Everything that exists has a molecule that is vibrating to no end. And you know what happens when that molecule is no longer controlled? That's right. That's why we've created the bombs we've created, so on and so forth. Watch this. Watch this. How that thing has been there for a long time. And it's full of molecules going. It hurts every time I do that. I just want you to know that. How are these things holding together? God is working, holding them together. Watch this. And he ain't even breaking a sweat. He's not breaking a sweat because he's God. He's all powerful. He's ever present. There's another one there. He's all knowing. He knows what's going on, church, and he's handling it. God values work. He's a worker. Point number three. You are created to work. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read verse 26, 28, and 29. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That's where we get the image of God. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. I'm so glad for that verse. Over the birds of the heavens, that's turkey season. Over the cattle, that's Colton's. And over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that's crawfish. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, to Adam and Eve, be fruitful. Multiply, that's kids. And replenish the earth. This is my favorite part. And subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. And over the birds of the heavens, and over the every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb yielding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food. He's asking you to join him in his work. And church, absolutely, God wants you to work with him on a evangelistic spiritual soul-winning level, but he also wants you to work with him on a everyday go-to-work level. He does. He wants you to be his co-worker. You were created to work. So point number four, God wants you as his co-worker. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, 8 and 15. And Jehovah planted a garden. That must have been a heck of a garden. Jehovah God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He wants you to work with him in, yes, secular employment. Now, we're almost done. Not only does God view work this way, work has instrumental value. Point number one under this is simply, through work, we serve people. Through work, we serve people. And I know, church, that sometimes it's difficult to do that because those people can be very difficult. But can you help me, and do you agree with me that there's nothing like going into an establishment and getting the best service possible type thing when it comes to this subject? There's nothing like it. When someone absolutely goes the extra mile to help you, what a blessing that is. Point number two, through work, we meet our own needs. Through work, we meet our own needs. That's where God blesses you to the point that you can work. He gives you a job, and through that paycheck, watch this, church, that money's his. But he allows you to use it to pay the electric bill, to pay the food bill, to pay the gas bill, to get that car, to get that truck, whatever the case may be. Through work, we meet our own needs. Number three, through work, we meet our family's needs. Now, in first service, I shared this because I want you to know, church, how grateful I am. Some of you may not even know this. You may show up at a business meeting after you hear this. I don't know. Part of my pay package for the last 21 years is that you not only provide for me a house, but you provide for our utilities. Wow. What a blessing. Now, I've been raised, I was a preacher's child. So that made sense to me when it was offered because the church did the same thing for my dad and my family. But watch this. Please know, church, Ben and Dawn Kingston do not take that for granted. We do not. We're very grateful. We're very thankful. My dad didn't take it for granted. In all my growing up days, you know what I heard from Dad? Turn the light out. But I'm coming back. But you're not there. Turn the light out. Okay. And I turned the light out. And when I leave the home, did you turn all the lights out? Boy, Turn the lights out. You know why? Because Dad was appreciative that the church paid the electric bill. And why would we ask the church to pay the electric bill when we're leaving the lights on? So you know what I do to my kids? Turn your light out. Turn your light out. And I joked. Tony's not here, so we're going to beat him up a little bit. I joked, and it's not a joke, but it was used as a joke this morning. You get that? On a day coming real soon, Brother Ben's going to drive to St. Clair High School and get Tony out of school, and he's going to come back to the house and walk up them stairs and turn out the light, because I'm tired of doing it. Tired of walking up them stairs when I didn't leave the light on. Why would we do that? Because we're grateful, church. Listen, there is no point in working harder than we have to do something that doesn't need to be done. And it's so important that you and I take this very seriously. God gives us a job to not only meet the needs of me, but He meets the needs of our family. There is a reason that you are all well-dressed here today, because God has blessed you in His work and in your work. Point number four. Through work, we earn enough money to give to others. I've told you about it before. And Jacob, this is purely an illustration. So you will give it back to me after we do this, okay? It's actually going to your dad later for pig food. This is called the Baptist handshake. Hey, he knows it. He knows it. Dan Cooley did that to me. Thank you for returning it. Dan Cooley did that to me, I don't know, 30 years ago. He walked up to me and says, Brother Ben, you know Dan Cooley's voice. Brother Ben, you know what the Baptist handshake is? No, Brother Dan, don't. Stick out your hand, boy. There you go. And I could tell that something was a little weird about the hand. You know, it wasn't like this. It was like this. He was holding something. So I took his hand and I felt it. And I didn't know what to do. And he said, take it. I put it in my pocket. Don't do that. Put it in my pocket. And I'm thinking, what just happened? I get to my car. You know, inquiring minds want to know. I saw that one and those two zeros. And I looked up in God and I thought, what the world? What's going on here? He blessed me. Do you know why Dan Cooley could bless me? God had blessed him. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, because lots of you folks bless other people. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. We call it being joyed now. Great, great joy people, folks. When the Holy Spirit lays it on your heart, joy them. God will bless you. But watch this. It all started with your job. Amen? It all started with your job. Number five, through work we love God. How many of you whistle when you go to work? So Brad and I were whistling the other day at work. He was whistling one tune. I was whistling another. Stacy said, if you two don't get on the same song, you should enjoy your work. You should enjoy your work. Now, I know it takes faith. I know it takes sometimes a really scriptural, spiritual attitude. But church, I'm telling you, God honors. So we're going to close with this. Work has been affected by sin. I don't have a clue as to what some of you people put up with at work. I don't. I work with saved people. Most of my work involves saved people. And I'm not trying to be mean or hateful, or at the very least, a lot of my work is involved with lost people that are trying to make an impression on the preacher. I get treated nice as a general rule. Some of you go into a very difficult situation. Please hear me. Sin has affected your workplace. So what do we do? I want you to turn, we're closing here. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You have been called to be conformed to the image of God. How do you do that? Again, by letting Him. Every day when I'm doing right, I ask God, conform me to your image, fill me with your spirit. I usually say it in the reverse. Fill me with your spirit, and as a result, conform me to your image. I call it the loftiest idea in Scripture. The loftiest idea in Scripture is that you and I can be like Christ. Yeah, you with potentially your foul mouth. You with your foul thoughts. You with your negative attitude. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm telling you what Ben Kingston struggles with on a daily basis if I'm not careful. But when I get conformed to the image of Christ, watch this. Now it's not you going to work, church. It's Jesus. Jesus is going to work when you and I are conformed to the image of Christ. What's going to happen in this nation if every Christian goes to work taking Jesus as his personification? This nation is going to have revival. Because it's at our workplaces, that they know. They know who you are. And if you will portray Christ, no matter who you were yesterday, if you will portray Christ, Christ will bring honor and glory to His name. I didn't do this in first service, so just second service is getting this. Now, I hit on foul mouth. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I think we could all agree that on a regular occasion, if we're not careful, we struggle with a bad word or two. Could I get a witness? All right, thank you, Andrew, whoever. Clint. Watch this. You ready for this, church? Ready to go? Ooh, you ready? All right, hang on. Here it is. Ooh. You know where I did that? Right here on this cotton picking stage. I came here to check to make sure that the water was doing right. I see now the culprit. I didn't see it last night because it was dark. I thought, I know that church. I can get around it, no problem. I looked in here. I could feel the warmth coming out. I knew we were good. I know that usually this path is open. I stepped right here where my foot fits. But this demonized speaker, thank you for laughing, got me. I just almost broke my shin. I went, oh, oh, oh. But aren't you thankful I didn't go beep, beep, beep. Yeah, yeah. And if I'm not careful, that can be what happens. Yeah. And I've joked with Dawn before because something like this will happen. She said, did you cuss? I said, in my mind. Now watch this. There's people that say, well, if you thought it, you might as well say it. That's not true. That's not true. Lord help. Because the thought is a sin. Saying it's another sin. Don't double it. It's not double or nothing. So keep it in the thought and then take it to God and confess it. And now it's just between you and God. But I literally hobbled to the car. And I thought, Lord, why'd you do that to me? And the Lord's like, "That you're on your own, buddy. You got a phone. It's got a flashlight. All this stuff. Church, what I'm trying to tell you. Your witness matters. And if you will change your thought patterns, if you'll change your word patterns, if you'll change your responses, your reactions at work to glorify Christ, God will make a difference at your work. I promise you. I want to read some verses to you because these verses absolutely support what I've been saying. Paul says to the church at Colossae that ye put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear, and grieve not the Holy Spirit in whom ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Church, there's only one way to do all that, and that is to allow Jesus to do it through you. Will you stand, musicians? Will you come? As they're coming, Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's absolute scriptural support for you being Christ on the job. Now, Brother Ben, I retired. Well, here's the bad thing about retirement. You never get a day off. God blesses work. So whatever God and you find to do, do it in a way that brings honor and glory to His name. Brother Ben, I'm in between jobs. I know a person like that. Ask God to give you the next job He wants you to have, whatever the case may be. You may be here today and you need to receive Christ as Savior. This is an invitation. We're inviting you to walk the aisle. We'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you need to make this an old-fashioned altar, whatever the case may be. Maybe you need to do like Kaylin did this morning and come and be baptized, whatever the case may be. Will you come? Let's sing.